An Irish man with a valid US work permit. Married to an American citizen. No criminal record. And yet, held in a US immigration detention centre for 5 months. His name is Seamus Culleton. And his family here in Ireland say what is happening to him is nothing short of a nightmare. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. Now, last week we heard from Minister Neil Richmond about the massive 330% increase in the number of Irish citizens at risk of deportation from the United States in a single year. Today, we're bringing you just one of the personal stories behind that statistic. Seamus Culleton. He is originally from Glenmore in County Kilkenny. He's lived in the United States for more than 20 years. He runs a successful plastering business in the Boston area, and he is married to a US citizen. And last September, Seamus was driving home from work when he was pulled over. He was carrying a valid Massachusetts driving license and a work permit issued by the US government. This was all part of an ongoing green card application based on his marriage. That process began last April. He still had one final interview. But instead of sitting that interview, he was arrested by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, we know them as ICE, and taken into custody. And for 5 days, he was held in an overcrowded cell and then flown to Buffalo in New York, where he was asked to sign documents agreeing to his own deportation. And Seamus's attorney then appealed the case to a federal court in the United States, where two ICE agents claimed that in Buffalo, Seamus had actually signed several documents and had agreed to be deported. And now, under United States law, Seamus cannot appeal, although he says he wants to see the signatures examined by handwriting experts and believes that a video of his interview with ICE in Buffalo would prove that he refused to sign any deportation documents. The family have no idea what will happen now and say the waiting is torture. From Buffalo, he was transferred again, this time to an ICE detention facility in El Paso in Texas. And that's where he has now been for almost 5 months. His lawyer says the case is highly unusual, and Seamus himself says he feels trapped between two parts of the same system. One processing his green card and another that's trying to deport him. The Department of Foreign Affairs here in Ireland say they're aware of the case and they're providing consular assistance. But for Seamus's family back home, this has become a daily ordeal defined by waiting and uncertainty and real fear about his physical and mental well-being. To talk about what this has been like for those closest to him, we're joined now by his sister, Caroline Culleton. Caroline, can you describe for me who Seamus is as a person beyond, I suppose, the headlines that we've all been reading over the last 24 hours?
James is my younger brother, and there's a little bit of an age gap between the two of us, actually. So I feel more so like I reared him myself, but we're very close. We've always been very close. He's a good guy. He's a very honest guy. Easygoing, sort of down to earth guy. No drama. You know, no, what you see is what you get, really, basically, with Seamus.
When did you first learn that he had been detained, and what was your immediate reaction then, Caroline?
I found out from his wife, Tiffany. First reaction was one of disbelief. You don't, it's not something you expect. He was over there 20 years. He is over there 20 years. Just one of disbelief and, okay, how do you process this and what's next and where do we go from here? You'd have so many questions, but you had no way of getting answers because no one had the answers. And we'd no way of contacting him, of course, at that stage.
So did you know initially where he had been taken and on what basis he had been arrested?
No, we didn't know. No, he was given one very small call to Tiffany's wife. She had to notify us here over in Ireland. And then he was in, before we knew it, he was in New York, Buffalo, New York, 4 hours away from his home.
And what did you as a family do then?
You're just in shock. It was all very raw back at that stage. Our point of contact was Tiffany. Slowly as time went by, well, he had been moved again after that. He was moved to El Paso in East Montana, Texas. We got called and those calls were just like a lifeline, you know, he was able to call us. But there was quite a gap between when we first heard it, when we got those calls.
I just am trying to get my head around this idea of a sibling, somebody you love and cherish, driving home from work after an ordinary day in the States where he lives, and he's literally lifted off the streets, arrested. You're here in Ireland, pretty powerless, I would imagine, with no sense of where to go, who to contact, who to call, how he is, how is he doing. I just don't know how you as a family would have coped in that moment.
You know, it's just unimaginable. And the fact that you can't contact him and you can't get any update on what's going on, or, you know, or see how he is, or only for Tiffany, we would have been lost, you know, only for Tiffany, you know, and we just had to go through it as we did.
And what was Seamus able to tell you?
Well, the first calls initially were, you know, ones of relief and just, look, are you okay? And what are, you know, what, where are you? And what's, you know, what's the story and bits and pieces like that. And slowly you build up a picture. You get to see, okay, this is who we're dealing with. And I had no idea who I were before that. And then you see all these things on the TV and you're there, oh my God, it's so close to home. You just don't realise, you don't think anything like that is ever going to happen to you. Like, and then you find yourself in this position.
Was Seamus able to get access to legal representation when he was being detained?
I think he had gotten Tiffany to get their own legal team sorted on the outside from a Boston point of view. They had a legal team and she would have been his lawyer right up to, well, she probably still is, but up to last week or the week before when the judge decided that there could be no appeal made in the court case that he had brought against the American government.
What was he telling you about the treatment that he had received, about the conditions of the place where he was being kept, about how he was coping, I suppose, mentally and physically with all of this?
At the start, he wasn't talking about that sort of stuff. I know now he was talking to Tiffany about it. I don't know if he wanted to worry us over here, whether he didn't want to tell us, whether he thought, like, this is short term, no point worrying the guys. I don't know. It's in the last couple of months I found out the conditions he's been living in and his mental and physical state now. Now I know.
Can you tell us about those conditions and how it is impacting your brother?
Well, as he mentioned himself, he compared it to like a concentration camp. There's 72 guys, I think it is, in the one small room. The meals are tiny. They have very basic hygiene facilities. They all share showers. Sometimes they don't even have cleaning products. He doesn't sleep with the noise. He's a big guy. He needs food. The food is not always there or it's tiny. It affects him now quite badly, yeah. They don't get outside also.
So what does he do all day?
He reads a good bit. The Irish consulate based in Texas, I think his name is Darrell. He had got books into him. He reads all day. You're just kept in this room all day. It's a tiny enough room for 72 guys. That's this. You have to just bide your time, bide your day.
I mean, what has happened to his business, to his livelihood while he's been detained? And how is it all affecting his wife, Tiffany?
She's devastated. She's devastated. I mean, we all are. I mean, it's really affects her mentally and physically. They had a home together. They had a very good life together. They were only recently newly married. And he's not there to run the business, so the business is not there.
How is this affecting all of you back here in Ireland, his siblings, his parents?
It's devastating. Devastating. You know, you feel so useless. Like, I mean, what can you do? You're up against ICE. Look at what they've gotten away with there and all the other states in America. And I'm not going to comment too much on that, but I mean, that's what you're up against and that's where he's in with and that's what's holding him there. So, heartbreaking. You feel useless. That's why I decided to go public on this, because I thought, like, you know, we just have to do something now at this stage.
Was he worried about you and the family going public?
Initially, a tiny bit, yeah. But then I just said to him, look, you trust me? And he said, yeah. And I said, leave this with me.
And what has been the reaction since you started speaking out about Seamus' situation?
Oh, we've been floodgated with positive responses. It's been crazy, really, today, all day today. I didn't expect that the article in the Irish Times would have this knock-on effect. It's brilliant. It's brilliant to see the support of Irish people as well. We just need the support of our government now, that's all.
And what is it you want the Irish government to do?
Intervene and get them out of there. Someone of their own. it's not achieving anything to anybody or for anything to hold him there. It's not achieving anything. He had no criminal record. He hasn't done anything wrong. I don't know what they hope to achieve by holding him there. It's not facilitating anyone.
I mean, I know there's been a claim from some within the organisation that your brother had agreed and had signed deportation papers. What's your response to that claim?
I know he didn't sign them. I know he didn't sign them because he wouldn't have went up against the US government if he thought it was going to have been dealt with the way it was dealt with, you know? I know for a fact he didn't sign those papers.
You're confident that he wouldn't have agreed to deportation?
Oh, no. 1,000%.
Why?
1,000%. Because his family is over there, his life is over there. He wouldn't have signed it anyway under duress from those people. He ticked a box to say that he didn't want to sign it. And he felt the need to go to court to prove that he didn't, which would be a big thing over there. And obviously it cost a lot of money as well.
Does it alarm you that this cannot now be appealed under US law?
Yeah, she sided with ICE. The judge sided with ICE. We knew that, you know, I mean, you take a chance. ICE didn't turn up on the Friday of the case, but she said, which looked good for us, because they don't turn up, they tend to throw these things out of court. But of course, she gave it one more day on the Saturday. They opened up the court especially, and ICE did turn up, and she went with ICE.
So what do you feel is going to happen now to Seamus?
I'm hoping the publicity will raise awareness with our government and get him out of there. Deals have been done before, deals can be done again.
And when you say get him out of there so he can come back to Ireland?
No, so he can return to Boston is our preferential hope. Because Seamus is on the verge of getting his green card over there at the moment. The last interview has been delayed purely because he's been detained.
I mean, when you look ahead now, Caroline, what do you fear the most?
Two things, I suppose. That he'll be kept in there indefinitely or he comes out of there in a box.
And do you actually believe the latter is a possibility, Caroline? Does that actually feel like a real concern to you?
Yeah, we were doing an interview earlier and Seamus was on the interview and he gave some scenarios of what has happened to other detainees over there in his time there, and it's quite frightening to hear those things.
What is the response that you've got from the Department of Foreign Affairs at this point, Caroline?
There's nothing they can do. There's nothing they can do. They can't comment on any individual case we've got. They make us aware that they know of his situation and they can't get involved to a certain, you know, to a degree.
Well, Caroline, I appreciate you taking the time to speak to us here on News Talk Daily. It's a story we will be following very closely here on the podcast.
Thank you.
Now, if the work of ICE continues like this and the number of deportations continue to rise, the fear is that there will be many more Seamuses. We're going to keep a close eye on this story and update you if there's any developments. And if you or anyone in your family has been affected, we would love to hear from you. You can email the team here at any time, newstalkdaily@newstalk.com. Well, that's it for today. We'll be back with another edition of the podcast tomorrow. Until then, take care.